Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we help artists thrive spiritually, artistically, and in business from a kingdom perspective. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey, friends, it's Matt. Welcome to another edition of The Thriving Christian Artist podcast. So glad you're here. Really excited to have a friend of mine, Danina Hughes, who is from all the way up in cold Minnesota and not here in warm Texas with me. But Danina, so glad you are here. Welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. We were just talking about y'all got the snowstorm of the century just now, and it's 72 degrees and sunny down here in Texas. But you know, you get soup and macaroni and cheese and blankets, and I'm sweating already down here and having to start cutting my grass. So it's beautiful wherever it is, isn't it?
For sure. I'd rather have the snow though right now than be cutting my grass. I love the snow.
I know it. I get it. Well, listen, take a moment, share a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what you do creatively, and then we'll kind of jump into your backstory and talk about all that's going on right now in your life.
Sure. So I'm Danina, and I am originally from Canada, and I immigrated to the United States for my alongside my husband with his job, and kind of always thought, you know, oh, I was just along for the ride.
Yeah.
But God kind of showed me pretty early on that he brought me here for a reason too. And so I spent a lot of years raising four kids, stay-home mom. And during that time, always just fostered creativity in my home and in myself. I've always been creative and just kind of stumbled into painting, and it ran with it. It just felt like I came home when I discovered paint and canvas. And so I am self-taught artist. And now I actually have two galleries, and I have a third gallery in Illinois seeking my work. So it's just been tremendous growth over the past few years. And especially growth in me since I attended the conference right before COVID shut the whole world down. It was like literally a week later.
Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. And a week later, it was like, what?
For those of you that don't know what that was, we had our Thriving Christian Artist Conference for the members of our Created to Thrive mentoring program. And we had this beautiful like 3-4 days together. And then literally everybody goes home on that Sunday. And it was like Monday, Tuesday. Remember, they shut everything down. I mean, that was so crazy. And then there we all were thinking, it's going to be 2 weeks. It'll be fine. It'll be over. And then 2 years later, we're like, when is this going to be
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy. Listen, I love the fact that you are coming back to your creativity and rediscovering it after, you know, being full-time mom, full-time, you know, caregiver at home and that sort of thing. So many people, that's their story, Danina. You know, I mean, you've heard that before that, you know, they had mom life, they had work life, they had this or that. And then for some reason, the Lord begins to bring creativity back around. I mean, what was that process like for you? Was it just like a moment? Was it a process of drawing? I mean, like the Lord drawing you, or what happened with that?
So I know that I've been creative my whole life.
Yeah.
It's just shown up in different ways. I dabbled with making jewelry, and I always tried to draw, and I actually really am terrible at drawing. I don't think linearly. I think in shapes. So sculpting and painting were really easy for me because in paint, with one swipe, you lay down highlight and shadow all at once.
Yeah.
So I see the shapes immediately, and I don't fight the same way as with drawing. So when I kind of stumbled into painting, just trying it out, it just, like I said, it felt like coming home for me. It was like, oh, this is what I've been looking for so long. But also I have a fun little hobby that I do with my husband, which we've been doing for about 30 years together now. And we are ice sculptors.
Really?
And yeah, he used to be a chef. And that's pretty much the common note of how people get into that through a culinary thing. And back when we were dating, he just one weekend, he's like, hey, you want to come with me to a thing? And I'm like, yeah, I like things. And it ended up being an ice carving competition. And I watched him do his thing. And I was like, hooked. I was like, next time you do that thing, I need to be in there with you. And so he taught me and showed me a bunch of things. And fast forward now, we've been doing it together for a lot of years. So my painting stuff almost shuts down for December through February. And I shift into sculpting mode. And we do competitions and commissioned things kind of all around our state and sometimes out of state. And we do really big scale stuff. So we're dealing with like 6,000 pounds of ice and doing massive 12-foot sculptures with ice. And we recently went into snow as well, which is similar, but not.
Yeah.
Very different medium.
Are you using like a chainsaw with that? I mean, how does that work like technically?
So with ice, we have quite the arsenal invested in power tools, and they're very specialty tools as well. Okay. So yes, chainsaws, but then, we have many die grinders with multiple types of specialty ice carving bits.
Wow.
And so it's quite an investment that we've made into that. Whereas snow, we discovered, is it's just an entirely different thing. The only commonality is that it's cold. But with snow, like, people are making all kinds of homemade tools. So or just really inexpensive things. I could make pretty much an entire sculpture with a $3 drywall knife.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's completely different. But like, people are schlepping, you know, mending plates on the end of a stick and using that to scrape and remove snow. And so it's very different, but equally fun.
That is amazing. It's amazing to me the things that people do to make art and to make a living and all that kind of stuff. And I just love it, especially when you can come together as a couple and find a place of connection, you know, with that as well. That's so cool.
Well, and thriving where you're at physically, you know, we live in a place where we have snow nearly half the year.
A lot, right?
So I'm not going to like hole up inside for that whole time. Let's get out there and enjoy it. So
Yeah. I love that. That was a big part of why we moved to Asheville, North Carolina. I mean, the Lord moved us there. It was like 14 years ago now. And it was so wonderful to be in a place. It was so rich with the natural materials that I love to use. And so it was like, how can you not do something with all that's around? So I totally get that. So your kids are grown now. They're almost self-sufficient, at least. I mean, what are their ages now?
I have only one at home. So she's 17. She's a junior. So we do get one more year with her.
Yeah.
And then our son is 19, and he graduated last fall, and he's doing a gap year program on the island of Kauai. Poor kid, you know, such a hard life. Bless his heart. So, you know, we had to go visit him,
You know, parental responsibility, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard, you know, parenting is so hard. And then we have a daughter who is 23 and another daughter who is 26. And then I have a stepdaughter who literally just this past week turned 33. Wow. So yeah, we've got a lot of kids, but just one at home, and it's a very different thing.
I bet.
I'm much more free to just paint whenever I want to. And
yeah.
All that. Yeah.
I love it. Now, you made the big step, which a lot of artists dream of turning what was a hobby and just a fun thing into a business. You've been a part of the mentoring program for a while now. You're really stepping out into that. So talk about that transition, because that's not always an easy transition for people, as much as we may feel like God's called us to something. There's a whole lot of stepping out in faith and in the middle of that. So what was that process, and what is that process like for you?
Well, there was this epiphany moment, and I've heard a lot of artists say this, when you say the words, I am an artist. You know, prior to coming to that moment, it's like, I'm a stay-home mom. I'm creative, but never actually using that term and thinking it as a profession and also part of your identity. I'm not like, my identity isn't wrapped up in the fact that I'm an artist. I know exactly, you know, what my identity is, and that's being God's child. And if my arms fell off tomorrow, I wouldn't lose the fact that that's who I am rather than, you know, being an artist. But knowing that God created me this way, a quote that resonated with me was Eric Liddell, you know, from Chariots of Fire. He said, "I believe God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." So just change a few words in there. And I believe God made me creative. And when I create, I feel his pleasure. And so it's like everything in me just resonates when I do something creative. And so I absolutely know that I know that I know that God made me to do creative things. And so basically when I said the words, "I'm an artist," it came about after I had done a little program called Unleashing Creativity. It was a really cool thing that our church put on where they opened up a room and filled it with art supplies, and they had it open 24/7 for an entire week. And you could come and go even in the middle of the night if you wanted to, because you know how creatives do that. We start at midnight and go until, you know, whatever. But that's when I thought, oh, I'm going to play with these paints and canvases. And just instantly, it was like, holy cow, it came easy for me. I fell in love with it. I went home after, you know, that week, and I said to my family, "I know what I want for my Christmas, or for my birthday, for Christmas, for all the things going forward, just outfit me with painting things." And, you know, they showed up big time for me. I had great support with that, and they bought me all the things. And I literally just took off from there. And then briefly after that, I started saying the words, "I am an artist." It wasn't just a hobby, a little thing that I did. I had a natural affinity for painting. Like I said, compared to how other, you know, drawing was always a struggle. So to say those words when I was like painting on a nearly daily basis, it was, light bulb moment. This is me. And so then as I couldn't not paint. It was like asking me to not breathe, you know. It was such a natural, wonderful, life-giving thing for me. So I did it a lot. And then I started just always looking at different art places around our city. And we have a thriving arts district in Minneapolis. And it has multiple buildings that are old warehouse-type buildings, and they're filled with the arts community. And so I would spend time wandering through those, dreaming about, oh, maybe one day I'll have a space in here. And then I got to a point where I had developed enough skill that I started looking for spaces that were looking for artists to join them, and then applying to those. And I got accepted as an artist into a shared space. And after being in that for a couple of years, I started looking for my own space. I was like, I don't want to share this anymore. I have my own vision and ideas, and I have so much more paint than fills up just this tiny wall. I want to fill up a room. That's right. So then I got my own gallery going, and it was just gangbusters. How it just took off out of the gate, just running. It was tremendous. Going back to that Thriving Christian Artist Conference, the Thursday night before that conference was my gallery's second anniversary event. And, you know, we make a big deal of that. We have, you know, it's advertised, and we have live music, and we had just hundreds of people come. It was fabulous. And then hop on a plane Friday morning and fly off to North Carolina. Wow. And then the world shuts down the week later. But yet God sustained me and the gallery through those 2 years. My anniversary for the gallery is in March. And this March, celebrating 5th anniversary.
Come on.
So that's wonderful. And I'm actually in the process of opening a second gallery space in another place that I even before I had the first space in the Arts District, there's a beautiful town on the St. Croix River here that divides Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the town is called Stillwater. It has a historic main street, all the beautiful brownstone type yeah. buildings, and super touristy right on the river. And I've dreamt of having a gallery space there. And that is the thing that's happening. So our doors aren't open yet. I have to get through anniversary season with my first gallery, and then we'll launch the second gallery and probably have a soft open in April and a grand open in May.
I love it. I love it. Girl, you're on fire. I can feel the heat from here. Like, it's, you know, listen, I want to dig a little bit with you in the story. 'Cause you know, you've heard me say a million times, you know, in the mentoring program that thriving is possible for you. And, you know, I'm always giving people vision about what's possible in their life. And I think for some people, they think that this is just going to happen automatically, that it's going to happen overnight, that the timeline is going to be super, super short with no roadblocks in their way. That everything's just going to be coming up roses. And the first time they hit any sort of difficulty or roadblock or whatever, it's automatically, oh, I knew I wasn't an artist. I knew this wasn't God and all that. And they just fall apart. I know for sure, listening to your story, that you are a person who has developed and is developing that spiritual grit that I love to talk about so much, that tenacity of just keeping the vision before you, keeping pressing through. Talk a little bit about that and what it really takes to move from, again, stay-at-home mom, pouring into your kids, creative on the side, all the way to now having, you know, a couple of galleries now this year and, mm-hmm. and selling work and all this. Like, when you look at this timeline, this is not 3 months to success. This is mm-hmm. over years. This yeah. is continuing to hold the vision and cultivate that and nurture it over time. So just talk about that dynamic, because it's not just all roses all the time, right?
Definitely not. But you say this a lot, and this is like a sacred echo is what mm-hmm. I call it when you hear it from different places in your yeah. life, that it just keeps coming at you. Give God your yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the sacred echo for that is also with I did the Henry Blackaby study, Discovering God, mm. and it's see where God is working and join him there.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, that wasn't just a, you know, location necessarily. That was about in my life, where is God working?
Yeah.
And partner with him in that to make things happen. And it's showing up. And like you said, it's doing the work and yeah. it's bringing the loaves and God taking them and multiplying them. Yeah. So it's, man, it's hard to gather all the thoughts because there's so many of them. But yeah, it's just that when something in you just resonates and this fire just is inside yeah. you about something, I didn't make that. God right. put that there.
Right.
And so it's like, let's just stoke that flame mm. and see. And like I said, just having been creative my whole life, I dabbled in a whole lot of things and I didn't shut that off. In me, you know, I just because I was a parent, that didn't turn off. Like we yeah. fostered a creative atmosphere in our home. And I mean, each one of our children are very creative in completely different ways, yeah. completely different. It's not like they're also painters or sculptors. They do their own thing, but it was nurturing creativity just as something that's important, not right. something to go, oh, I'll do that when I have time.
Right.
It's like, God created us to be creative, and it's yeah, one
this
of the
is
ways
how you release the kingdom, right? It's important.
It's one of the ways, yes, that He pours Himself out and reveals yeah. Himself to us, and so you know, when He says we're made in His image, that's one of the ways.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
why would you turn that off in yourself? Yeah. So it's just kind of living in it, like a, it's your just your lifestyle, your way of being. But yeah, there's hard things. I mean, you don't expect when you're thinking you're going gangbusters, you don't expect a pandemic to shut everything down, you know, but the beautiful thing is we also had in the midst of that pandemic, we also had that massive social, upheaval here sure. in Minneapolis. And so, it was definitely a point where I really struggled and kind of had a little bit of a crisis about that, wondering, you know, where do I go in the middle of all sure. this? And just continuing to put one foot in front of the other. It's like, okay, I'm not going to put my brushes away. I'm going to keep painting. I'm going to paint through this. And the biggest thing is just knowing and trusting that God loves me. God has this, he knows what's in tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's just trusting him with what's in tomorrow. And I watched so many people, especially through the social unrest in Minneapolis, so many artists massively, there was just a mass exodus out of the arts district.
Wow.
And lots of empty, you know, studio spaces and whatnot, people losing their livelihoods and people just being afraid to be in that area in Minneapolis and leaving because of, you know, fear.
Right.
And to know that that's not what God has for me. He doesn't have fear of my future. He doesn't have fear of like all the what ifs and whatnot. It's like, it's just a real peace in not striving. I saw so much anxiety amongst my non-Christian artist friends, like crippling anxiety where they would just stop creating. They're like, what's the point type thing. And just to know how good our God is, that's not what he has for us.
In the middle of that, like you become a sign and a wonder. They're like, how is she doing this? How are you still paying your rent? How are you still creating and selling work? And you're like, well, let me tell you, I'm so glad, you know?
Well, and you know, what's just the weirdest thing is, yeah, I show up and do the work, but I am not the world's greatest artist, but I have the world's greatest God.
Come on.
Right? And so there's this huge annual event in the arts district here called Art A Whirl. And tens of thousands of people come for that event from all over the United States. And I sold like gangbusters in my gallery. I sold more than anybody else in the entire building. And there are over 300 artists in the building that I'm in.
Wow.
People just kept coming in and going, I want that. And I'll buy that. And over and over and over and over. And all it was God just showing up over and over and over and blessing my socks off, but also blessing my family and my son, because little bit of a backstory without making it long is that throughout the pandemic, you know, my kids really struggled, you know, school went online, sports shut down.
Same here. Same. My son the same way.
My son had two friends commit suicide during that time.
Gosh.
So just the darkness and sorrow and heaviness of that. And he was really struggling with depression and grief. And he hit graduation and he didn't know, you know, he's like, I don't know what I want to do after graduation, and just the stress and pressure of that. And so we started talking about different gap year options to try and regroup and gather. And I said to him, you know, son, like, it's time you realize that life was beautiful, that the sun shines on your face and God has good things for you.
Yeah.
And so I'm preaching to my son, but at the same time, you know, going, okay, God, how in the world, what in the world? And then God shows up in a way that he provided for me out of that one weekend, 3 days from Art A Whirl. He provided so much income that I could pay for my son to do this program in Kauai for the gap year.
Wow. What a blessing.
And so it wasn't just God showing up for my son. It was God showing up for me. So I wasn't just preaching empty words. God was like, see, it's like the way you want your son to believe it. He's like, I want you to believe it.
I'm teaching you this as you teach him this. Right.
So it's 100% God, just 100%. He showed up in a big way for me and for my son.
So good. So good. You know, Danina, I know that there are people listening right now and they're going, gosh, I wish that could be my story. I wish God would show up for me like that. Or I wish I could see my dream of having a gallery or stepping into that actually come true. What would you say to them as we kind of wrap this conversation up today? What would you say to encourage the folks that are standing where you were 5, 6 years ago, believing against belief that this could actually happen?
Yeah. Well, first thing, you got to remember who your God is. And if you take your eyes off that and you're looking at, you know, like Peter and stepping out of the boat, if you're looking at the water, of course, it's big and scary and you're going to sink. But if you keep your eyes on God, you know, you're good. There's a way that's going to be made. He's going to make it. You don't have to be the one that makes it. Yeah. But all that aside, that sounds like, yeah, whatever. You show up and you do the work. And I would just say, like, look where your resources are. Mm. Go where things are already happening and fit yourself into that. So if you have an arts district or an arts community near you, find ways to insert yourself into that. Yeah. Start networking with other artists. They don't have to just be believers. Right. Start networking with other artists because, oh my goodness, the arts world can be a very dark place. And man, does Jesus need to be there?
Yeah.
And we carry him. So get on in there and, you know, light it up.
I love it. I think that's one of the first things I did when I moved here to East Texas. We started looking, you know, for opportunities to connect. And before you know it, I'm on like this board now for the arts in our area. And I'm getting the opportunity to speak into the lives of people. And it's just, and building friends. And it's like, you got to do that when you come into an area. And even if people don't have that in their area, start something, start a group of artists that gets together, you know, do a book study, do something at your church, wherever. It just, that kind of stuff is invaluable to for all of us as we walk in what God's called us to.
So. Well, just one other thought is, you know, creativity is infinite.
Yeah.
Our God is infinite. Creativity is infinite. And he put that little speck of that inside us. So it's like, don't look at it being like, oh, that's already been done or whatever. Like you said, make a new thing.
Yeah.
Like just because it hasn't been done before, why not? Like that's my first gallery it's a all equine art gallery.
Wow.
And that hadn't been done, you know, at least around where I am. And I would go to horse events and I would see lots of other equine artists. And I was like, this is so terrible. We're moving our art. Every time you move your art, it gets wrecked. You know, wouldn't it be great if we had a platform where we all had a louder voice because we were together and we could support and encourage each other? And so that's how Gallery Equus was born and just kind of exploded from there.
See, I love that. Again, something that you needed and you think somebody ought to do this. And the Lord's like, you ought to do this.
Yeah, you're somebody.
I remember I used to always be afraid to give suggestions when I was on church staff years ago, because our pastor used to say, he who has the burden often has the call. But that's true. It's like, when, you know, when you're feeling the burden for something, often, the, you know, God is calling you for that. And I love that you're stepping out in that. So,
yeah.
Well, Danita, I know people are going to want to connect with you online, social media, all that sort of thing to see all the great stuff that you're doing. So where's the best place that they can connect with you?
So you can find, I have two websites and also Facebook and Instagram. So I have my personal artist website. I have the gallery's website. And then I also have my artist Facebook and Instagram and the gallery's artist Instagram and Facebook. So my website is just my first and last name.com. So DanitaHughes.com. And then my Facebook and Instagram are artist Danita Hughes. And then the gallery is called Gallery Equus and it's EQUUS. And that's galleryequus.com. And then the Facebook and Instagram are just Gallery Equus. You keep that branding consistent and people can find you pretty easy.
So good. Well, Danita, what a joy it is to get to know you better today, hear your story. And I know it's been a big inspiration to everybody listening. Guys, go to the links that are right there in the description, wherever you're watching or listening on the podcast or on YouTube. You can connect and just continue the conversation with Danita. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It's been a joy.
Thank you. It's been fun to talk to you.
Hey, my friend, it's Matt. Listen, just wanted to say thanks for being with me on the podcast today. I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe so you don't miss anything here on the podcast, as well as leave us a review and let us know how much this podcast means to you. Until next time, my friend, I love you. And remember, you were created to thrive. Bye.